morning, church. The morning scripture will be coming from Hebrews, the 7th chapter. That's Hebrews, the 7th chapter, the 25th verse. And the word of God reads, "Wherefore he is able to also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth and make an intercession for them." May the Lord have a blessing to his word.
Good morning. You know what makes Jesus so great as a Savior? Well, one of the things that makes him so great as a Savior for us is because he can identify with us. He knows what it means to be human. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He was perfect. He did everything right. He never made a mistake. He was sinless. But he suffered horrifically for it. And we are even told as his children that we would have to suffer if we desire to be righteous as he is righteous. We'd have to suffer as well. In fact, Peter says that's even the reason why you were called. "For even were ye called, because Christ also suffered, leaving us an example that we might follow his steps." Bible says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." And so when you think about that, you realize that Jesus can identify with us. He knows exactly what it means to be in the human condition. He knows exactly what it means to suffer. He knows exactly what it means to be hungry. He knows exactly what it means to be tired and weary. He knows exactly what it means to be tempted. And the Bible says in all points, and we have discovered in scripture what it means to be tempted in all points, the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. The devil won't have anything new. Same thing he did to Eve in the garden. He did to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 in that great temptation. The same thing John says in 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17, that he still does today. He tempts in all of these areas. And so Jesus took on the full brunt of temptation and never once let go. Never once quit. Never once sin succumbed to it or gave in. And so we recognize why Jesus is such a wonderful and great Savior. We're thankful to God that he is. And that Jesus, great Savior that he is, that Jesus sent out an invitation to invite any and all or everyone to come to him. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Aren't you tired? Haven't you been downtrodden enough? Haven't you sinned enough? Haven't you been burdened enough with those things and the consequences of those things? He says, all can come to me. And I'm thankful that he says all, because that means everyone. That means everyone alike can come to Jesus. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter your station of life. It doesn't matter what's where you come from and all those kind of things. Everybody can come to Jesus. He said, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Now, Jesus does have a yoke for us to bear. But he says, "My yoke is easy." It is something that you can carry. "My burden is light." And we feel that as Christians, don't we? We understand there's a life that you have to live when you come to Christ. There are some things that you have to do. There are some things that you need to accomplish. There are some ways in which you need to handle yourself and carry yourself. There are some things that you need to manifest toward God in your service toward him, or even in the worship hour. We need to participate. We need to be available and all those kind of things. And so therefore, you need to make sure that spiritually you are connected with Jesus and responding to him in a way that fulfills his purpose. And so there are some things you have to bear that no one can bear for you. We can help you with certain things per Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Bear you one another burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So we understand all of that. We can get some help with certain things, but there are certain things you have to do for yourself. You have to bear. He said, for my yoke is easy. It's something that you can do. And my burden is light. But come to me. Everyone can come to him. What a wonderful invitation. Makes you wonder, why in the world? I don't know why I'm up here. Let me come down here. Makes you wonder, why in the world would anybody reject Jesus? Why would anybody do that? Why would anybody reject Jesus? Do you realize that when Jesus was here, you think about all the ways in which he benefited man. But not only the ways in which he benefited man, the ways in which he desired to benefit man. Jesus was right here on this earth, and he was teaching man. He was teaching him through his doctrine. And what he was doing was telling them the ways in which he wanted to benefit them, the ways in which he would benefit them. Think about it. Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, you have the parable of the householder as told by Jesus. Now, that's coming from Matthew chapter 19 with the rich young ruler who walked away. And then Jesus stated some things. So if you're in Matthew chapter 20, go to Matthew chapter 19 and give me the very last verse. Matthew 19, the very last verse of that chapter. Many that are first shall what? Shall be last. And the last shall be first. Now, Jesus is saying this. Now, go to Matthew chapter 20 and look at verse number 16.
So the last shall be first.
And the first last. Many be called, but few chosen. So you have to know there's a connection, right? From the last verse in chapter 19 to the verse 16. And in between, you have the parable of the householder. Now, that parable of the householder, what is Jesus showing? What is he teaching? He is showing that God came here to hire man, to give him the wages of his hire. In other words, my friends, no matter what you are doing in this life, if you decide to come and you decide to pledge yourself to Jesus, you will have everything you need in this life. You will have all your needs met. And obviously, this is in a spiritual context. We understand it in reference to the Jews because they thought they should have been first, seeing that they were the ones who bore the heat of the day. They were the ones who kept and maintained the oracles. And they thinking that we should be first. We should be the ones in first place. And then what happens in the parable is that Jesus gives to those who was hired in the 11th hour the same he gave to those who was in the first hour. So which means he's going to give to the Gentiles the same privileges in the kingdom that he's going to give to the Jews. Well, that didn't sit very well with them. And Jesus says, why are you upset with me? Those are my things. I can give them to whom I will. And also, why are you upset? Because I am good. You see, isn't it good to know that no matter when you come to Jesus, no matter how you come to Jesus, Jesus is going to give you everything you need. He's going to give man his wages. And Jesus was teaching that. It's sad that people missed it while he was doing it. But then you consider Jesus teaching in Luke 15. In Luke chapter 15. And you have in that particular narrative, you have a lost coin, a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost boy. And what is Jesus teaching there? He is teaching another way in which he's going to benefit man. That he is here to seek man and to bring him back home to the Father, as illustrated by the fact that when someone loses a sheep, he leaves the 99 and goes until he finds that one and then brings that one back, and heaven rejoices over that one sinner than over the 99 that needed no repentance. And so he then rejoices, but then he shows you the coin. The woman lost the coin, turned over the whole house to find the one coin, and when she finds it, she then wants to celebrate. And then he shows a lost boy who walks away from his father, says, gives me the inheritance that belongs to me, starting in verse number 11. And then he goes out and finds himself in the far country of sin. And as a result of that far country, eventually he finds himself in a deplorable condition, in a deplorable state, where he is down there going as low as a Jewish boy can go, as he is feeding the swine, and he's attempting to eat the husk that the swine did eat. As a result of that, that boy finally being deranged and messed up in his mind and lost his mind, the Bible says in verse 17, when he came to himself. Well, that indicates that he wasn't at himself before that. He then says, how many hired servants have my father? And they have room and bread to spare. And I'm perishing from this hunger. Well, the man decides he needs to get up and he needs to go home. Well, think about the parable. Are you there in Luke 15? Read verse 1 and 2. Luke 15, verse 1 and 2. You see the point? You see what brought on all of these parables? Now, you got the publicans. Who are they? They're the tax collectors. And they were considered traitors because they're taxing their own people. And they're doing it for the kingdom that has them under their control. And so now you got the tax collectors. And they are the ones who sometimes were not honest. And therefore, they were skimming off the top and all those kind of things, so people didn't trust them. So you got them as the sinners. Then you got the refuse of society, the sinners that were there. And then you got the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious elite of the day. So here they are. And what happens? The religious elite began to criticize Jesus. Look at him. He's sitting down with publicans and sinners. Boy, if he was so righteous, he ought to know better than that. Well, what are they doing? Well, if you watch the stories unfold, you realize then what happens when that boy leaves home. So who's the boy that leaves home? The boy who leaves home are the Gentiles and the rejects of society, of Jewish society and community, and the Gentiles. Kind of see them spelled out in Romans chapter 1. Did not like to retain God in their knowledge and worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So you see them have gone away. And as a result of that, now you've got the refuse of society. You got the Gentiles. You got the sinners. And so now represented by that boy who leaves his father's house and he goes away into the far country of sin. But you got another boy at home. Now who is that boy? That's the Jews. Those are the scribes and the Pharisees, the elite of society. They are still at home while the Gentile boy goes away. They stay at home with the father, much the same way the Jews did, as you see the separation between the Jews throughout the scriptures, and you see the separation between the Jews and the pagans and all these kind of things, and God giving them a special diet and giving them certain privileges and all those kind of things, and then they're going to bring the Christ and on. So you see, they stay at home with God all the time, which is why in Romans chapter 2, they're complaining. Paul says, you had every advantage because you had the very oracles of God. He talked to the Jews and he says, you are upset with the Gentiles, Romans chapter 1. And he said, but you're doing the same thing, committing the same kinds of sins. In other words, the Gentiles went away and they were in sin, but you also are in sin because you're committing the same crimes. That's what he's saying to the Jews. And so in Luke 15, you have that boy's, you got the scribes and the Pharisees who don't see themselves as sinners, but you've got also that boy at home who don't see himself as a sinner. But the Gentile went away. And he got himself in all kinds of mess. And then he turned and came home. Who's the father? That's God the Father, who watches the boy goes away and he got one at home. Where is Christ in the parable? You ever thought about where he was? Well, it's interesting, he's not in the parable. He is actually telling it. He's actually come down here as the one who is seeking the lost sheep, as the one who is trying to find the coin. Luke 19:10, he says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Jesus is the one telling the parable, and he's actually the one that's here, God in the flesh, and he's seeking man so that he can bring him back home to the Father. The boy finally comes back home, comes back home. The Gentiles are welcome into the kingdom. The celebration begins, And the Jews are on the outside, represented by the boy, the scribes and the Pharisees, on the outside of the celebration. And the father's trying to entreat them to come into the celebration. But what do? They are upset. Why? Because they are more prodigal than the one who left. So in essence, you have the real prodigal son never left home, stayed right there, and had all of these sins of envy and jealousy and hatred and all this kind of stuff in his heart. We have to be careful lest we be the ones who are sitting here all the time judging those who go back and forth out of that door. And when they come back, we judge them as being the ones who got the problem, when sometimes we're sitting right here with the problems ourselves. Amen. Jesus showed that he was here to bring man back home to God through that lesson. But then Matthew 22, you got the wedding feast. And in that wedding feast, you have Jesus sending out an invitation. He's sending out an invitation. What does he want to do? He wants to help man. He wants to benefit man. He wants to invite man to come to the celebration. The celebration that is the kingdom. The gospel dispensation is now prepared and ready. The invitation goes out. Come on to the feast. What's prepared? Well, now you got the gospel dispensation ready to begin. And what do we have? We've got at our banquet table, we got reconciliation. Man, to be put back on friendly terms with God. We've got justification to be declared righteous, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 21. To be declared righteous, to have transferable righteousness or imputed righteousness, a righteousness that we could not have of our own because our righteousness is as filthy rags. But Jesus, in order to fit us for the celebration, he gave them robes. He robed man in his own righteousness. That's what he said, found one that didn't have a robe on, and that man was thrown out. You see, Jesus has allowed us to come into the kingdom, and he's given us a robe. That robe is the robe of his righteousness that he gives so that we can be justified, looked upon by God as innocent before him. Inheritance. He gave us an inheritance. That's ready now in the kingdom. Hope. Hope for something even beyond this life. We have hope, something that will translate from this life to the next life, something that we can look forward to. So no matter how dismal it gets, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how much trouble we suffer, no matter how bleak it seems, we've got something, as the world says, a little light at the end of the tunnel. No, we got a big light. We got the shores of heaven to look forward to when this life is over. So no matter what your condition, no matter what your situation, hope is ready. Everything is ready. Justification, reconciliation, hope, peace, joy, all of this is ready. No wonder James says in James chapter 1, verse number 2, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. My friends, count it all joy, even when you fall into situations that are sometimes difficult, sometimes against you, but yet you can still have joy because you know that when those situations and circumstances go to work on you, God goes to work on them, and he'll see you right through every one of them and prepare you and make you better through them. You see, in Matthew 22, he's bringing them to the celebration in the kingdom, and that's, he's showing then that he is benefiting man, helping man, aiding man, so that man will have everything he needs to prepare him to have joy in that kingdom. What a wonderful Savior who can benefit us in so many wonderful ways. I'll leave you with one more, Matthew 13. In Matthew 13, he shows that in this particular parable, that this is the seed or the sower, the kingdom of the sower. And that sower goes out to sow that seed. And what he is showing is that man is responsible for the condition of his own heart. Every one of us are responsible for our hearts. We're responsible for what we see, what we do. We're responsible for how we receive, how we hear the word of God that's implanted in our hearts. We are responsible. And see, the reason that's so important is because even though Jesus was here to benefit man in all those wonderful ways, that man still rejected him on many instances, and it wasn't because of who Jesus was, it was because of who man was. Will you reject the benefits of this Savior? I'm thankful to God that he's still here to benefit us today. Amen. I'm thankful to God that he loved us the way he did. And I'm thankful to God that you are here so that in the event that you are not a Christian, that you have not saved, you recognize that the reason Jesus got off his throne and came down here, the reason he came down here was because he wants us to be up there. And so he came down here and did all that he did. And even in his teachings, he was showing man the ways in which he was here to benefit him. And yet many still rejected him. Are you going to reject him today? Or do you realize how many ways he wants to benefit you? All you have to do, my friends, is respond to Jesus in the way that he prescribed in his word. He is God. And he was God in the flesh when he was here. And he is an eternal being. He is the very reason why you have your existence. And I'll tell you what love is manifested toward us that the one who created us and saw us go astray was willing to come and robe himself in flesh so that he could die in our stead and justify us before the Father. And all he asks you to do is to believe that he is who he said he was and who he is. He says he is the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. How do I know that? Because one made that claim and one spoke that in his presence. And Jesus agreed that that came from the Father. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven," Matthew 16, 17, and 18. "And I say also unto thou, Peter, upon this rock I build my church," on that confession that you made that I am the Christ, Son of the living God. "I'm going to build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." In Acts 2, that church began. And in verse 47, those people were being added to that church. So therefore, my friends, if you want to be saved, you need to be added to that church that he built. And the way you do that is the same way they did it. They was told to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you believe it? They were told to repent of their sins. Will you repent? They were told to confess him with the mouth unto salvation. Will you confess him? They were told to submit to him in baptism, to be buried with him and identify with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Will you be buried in water this morning? All we're teaching is what they taught. You do the same thing they did, you should get the same result. And the water behind that screen is ready. We'll let that screen up so we can show you. And if you're scared, we'll leave it down and baptize you. We don't care. He just wants you to be baptized into Christ. But I don't think there's any reason to fear. You don't have to be afraid. In fact, some people were afraid to confess Jesus because they were afraid they might get thrown out of the synagogue. Jesus didn't look too kindly upon that. So if you're going to step up for him, he's already stepped up for you. And he'll see you in the end and bring you to the shores of heaven. All you have to do is respond according to the gospel. If there's anyone here that wants to do that this morning, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the invitation song.